So, like, we might have had this conversation.
Yeah.
But, like, does Capcom realize that they made, like, Mega Man Maker exactly like Super Mario Maker? They just make all the money?
Well, they were going to do that. Remember that Mega Man Universe
thing? No, but not, like, some dumb, like, oh, it's, like, crappy 3D graph. Like, I mean, just, like, the 8-bit pixel art.
I'm sure it would do fine. I don't know. You know, who knows? It's kind of strange that there haven't been, like, a wave of, like, Mario Maker knockoffs, really.
Right? Like they did it. They showed
right?
It works.
Yeah, that game did well, right? I mean, yeah. It's going to be a thing. Who knows? Maybe it's coming. I mean, you could... I'm sure there's, like, things online that kind of let you do that. And people... Like, that's a big thing. People made their own fan Mega Man games.
Oh,
and,
sure. That means, like, programming
and like,
stuff.
Mario, yeah.
I ain't got time for that.
Like, nobody got time for that. Do you think, like, all the people who made these games are, like, infuriated when they see something like Mario Maker? Like, the people who had to make Mario 3.
Like the guys in Nintendo in the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sure at one point they're like, wow, technology's come a long way. And it's like, god damn it.
Just like, like some 12-year-old made my game.
It took me months to create. I did it by hand in binary. It was all zeros and ones. But they were Japanese zeros and ones.
Let's talk about my joke because it was funnier. The Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 1st. Wow, it's July.
It is July.
Man, we're like more than halfway done with the year. Or
yeah.
Just about, yeah. So yeah, July 1st, 2016. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Ajay.
Yo.
It's not even really until about this time, too, where like it stops being weird to say 2016. You're like, oh, I guess that's the year.
I got over it a while ago, actually.
Well, I didn't. So stop trying to make me feel stupid.
Yeah.
Welcome to our show, everybody. We're going to talk about... holidays in Disney today.
Yeah, because there's a holiday coming up.
Yeah, this is our loose tie-in. We've been there for a lot of holidays. The big ones, anyways. I mean, what the big four? 4th of July in America, anyways, right? 4th of July, yeah. Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and Easter, I guess.
Have you ever been there for Halloween?
No.
Itself? I've been there while the Halloween decorations are up.
Yeah, we've seen some Halloween things.
Well, let's start with the 4th of July.
Okay.
Because that's, like, in a few days.
And I mean, really, the big thing there is the fireworks, right?
Yeehaw! It's cool, because they do this really neat thing.
I mean, do they still do this? This was a while ago when we did this.
I think they still do this, or something similar, at least.
And they do, they don't just put on the normal fireworks show, yeah. Is the point.
Most of the holidays have their own fireworks show, but what they did for the 4th, at least last time we were there, they set up fireworks all around the Seven Seas Lagoon.
Right.
So, like, even when you're, especially kind of when you're watching from, like, one of the hotels... Super rad, because it was just, like, fireworks all around you.
Do you know what year this was when we did this now?
That would have been 2004 or 5. It's when I was there for that, I was there for that. When did you guys... There was another time we were there for the 4th, because I was there for that film acting school.
Yeah, it was way earlier, yeah. So, okay, so how do you have the most patriotic visit to Disney World you possibly can? I think you got to,
Hall of Presidents, American Adventure.
No. First you gotta get up and have breakfast at, like, the 1900 Park Fair, I think.
In the Victorian-themed place? With Mary Poppins?
Okay. First you have to have breakfast. Well, what's, like, an American place you can have breakfast at? The Wilderness Lodge. Have breakfast at the Whispering Canyon.
Yeah, Whispering Canyon, which we've never been to.
Okay, yes. So then you're in the Wilderness Lodge, and that's good. Then you Then you go to the Ticket Transportation Center, and you have to go to do American Adventure. You skip everything else at Epcot. You have to, like, put your eyes to the ground when you're walking over, so you don't see all the...
Go through all those heathen countries.
Yeah, all those heathen countries, and you walk over to the American...
No, you walk through England, and you spit on the ground.
There you go. Yeah, you shout angry things at them on your way. Talk about...
Don't tread on me!
Talk about freedom a lot.
Rochambeau!
Yeah, then you go to American Adventure, you watch the Voices of Liberty,
uh-huh.
You look at the nice art exhibits, then you watch that show one, two, or three times.
Shed a few patriotic tears.
Right, there you go. You get filled up, then you have lunch at that little... fast food place they have that's connected to. What's that even called? It's like the one I can never even remember the name. It's very typical, just burger and fries.
Yeah.
It has a lot of flags.
There's tavern in the title?
Yeah.
It's
American.
That's right. Yeah, by the way, you're eating cheeseburgers the rest of the day.
So then put your eyes back on the ground or take a... Yeah, and then get over to the monorail. Go to Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Go down Main Street, because that's still America.
Yes, but very
then,
much so.
Yes, and then you can maybe walk through Frontierland if you want, but you got to get to Liberty Square.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do the Hall of Presidents.
Yep.
A few times.
Yep.
Obviously, and then you eat at the dinner at the Liberty Tree Tavern.
Yep.
Then you watch the fireworks.
Yes.
Liberty Tree Tavern is a fun place.
That is a good place.
Remember the first time we went there?
It was just you, me, and Chris.
No, it was just you and me.
No, Chris was there too.
Was he?
And for like, so they do a thing when it's your turn for your table, they like announce you. So like, if you're like this, if your last name is Smith, they'll be like, hear ye, now seating the Smith party from the colony of New York.
And, yeah, they ask you what you're
so, stated. And we were there like the first seating service, I think it was lunch. So like, it was all just like boom, 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 like rapid fire. And we get this Japanese cat, hurry, hurry, now seating the Minari family from Ohio. It's like, yes. This is amazing.
I love colonial history specifically. And it's cool because like each like room is like themed after a different like founding father. So it's like the Jefferson room, the Washington room, the Franklin room, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It just looks cool in there. And like the meal is basically just like a Thanksgiving share, like, you know, family style
kind of carved thing. Meats.
Yeah, a lot of carved meats, stuffing, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, and then you just kind of all pick from it. That's good.
Real good.
They kind of go off and on where they have characters there. I think they do against it now. I don't remember.
Yeah, it comes and goes. It's weird.
Which is, you know, kind of like, for me, like, I was at a point, I was like, I want to be there when the characters aren't there.
but they're in their colonial garb.
I know, like, okay, we're all adults now. But now that we have, like, the kids.
Dressed maybe. Like Betsy Ross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, they all look nice.
Michael, let's divert into some rumors.
Rumors. Was this rumors or news? This rumors, though.
I think it toes the line. So, supposedly, some sort of Muppet-based attraction is coming to
Liberty Square.
Yeah, Liberty Square. And it basically sounds like there's going to be a Muppet in one of the upper windows who just yells at you about American history. Probably Sam Eagle.
Now, is that the attraction?
Yeah, they said attraction, but then you read that description. Like, oh, it's not like an attraction. That's just like a cool thing that happens.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Like, if I'm, like, walking by and Sam Eagle's like, here now, stand up tall, walk straight, you are in America. Yeah. Like, that'd be awesome.
Oh, I'd be a big fan.
I could do a decent Sam
Eagle. Yeah, that's pretty good.
When I straighten my back, that really helps.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I still think they should just take over the Hall of Presidents in some fashion.
No. That apparently was a thought at first to actually have the Nicolas Cage's, like, character from National Treasure, like, host the Hall of Presidents. I would have been all about that.
So right now, you're going to go into a room with a bunch of the presidents of the United States.
I'm going to, like, in the middle of it,
we're going to steal them all.
He's like, steals Thomas Jefferson in the middle of it. You see this animatronic Nicolas Cage, like, shimmy.
Yeah, sneaking around in the background.
Like, grabbing one of them.
The lights go out, they come up, Jefferson's gone.
He kidnapped the president in the second one.
Right. There is precedent.
Right.
We found the story.
All right. So, 4th of July is a pretty good holiday to actually be in the parks for. Because it's not like one of those holidays where you're like, oh, I should be with my family. And you know, it's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, it is like all these holidays crowded.
It's packed.
And it's July, so it's hot.
Was there a parade? I can't remember now.
Oh,
was there like a special patriotic parade? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it's just all about the fireworks.
Yeah. What if you like spent the day in like Animal Kingdom? Would you even know that it was the 4th of July?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I feel like the other parks are at least doing something. Magic Kingdom a lot. Like, you know, I don't know what Hollywood Studios do, but probably something. But Animal Kingdom would be like, you know, look at some animals.
Welcome to Africa. Well, what is this 4th of July you speak of?
Like,
that's tomorrow, right?
What does 4th of July mean to a black man? The Frederick Douglass thing, right?
I was like, what are you talking about?
You know, the Frederick Douglass
thing. Okay, yes, that's fine. For a second there, I was just like...
Is that going to kind of came off as awful?
Yes!
No, it's a historic thing.
You redeemed it when you pointed out the Frederick Douglassness of it.
All right. Okay, so next holiday, major one anyways, is... It's Halloween, which... It's so funny how holidays work for us, where it's like basically all the fun ones are clumped in together.
Yeah. So Halloween basically lasts from like September 1st until like right after Thanksgiving.
Well, it's interesting because Halloween wasn't that big a deal in the parks when we were little. It wasn't until not too long ago that they really ramped up Halloween.
Well, they found out they could do the hard-ticketed trick-or-treat event and charge for that.
And people will pay.
Which I understand. I mean, we were a little too old for it, but I understand it's a very nice event.
No, I know.
Kids get to dress up. A lot of characters are out. There's candy everywhere.
I mean, I know Halloween used to be like off season, and now it's like the season because all these kids are going.
They do have a phenomenal fireworks show.
Yeah, do they still do that? Because that princess, the
pirate and princess thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's changed, but we saw it the one year. I think they called it Hollow Wishes.
Yeah,
yeah, that was super rad.
So we don't really know exactly a lot what they do, huh?
It's worth pointing out that I think Halloween is the most fun when you go to Disneyland, because then you can do the Haunted Mansion holiday.
Yeah, that's kind of the shame, is that they don't bring over that layover, and that's when they have
basically Haunted Mansion turns into a Nightmare Before Christmas ride.
Right. It's really cool. Yeah, like the whole thing is just like completely changed. There's a different soundtrack, all these different effects. It really does feel like a different ride, and they put in these like new animatronics of like Jack Skellington and
Oogie Boogie. One's very cool, yeah.
Right, but I mean, yeah, it's like a full on thing. It's really
like neat. It doesn't feel like something they like installed in a couple of weeks as an overlay.
Right, exactly. Disneyland is pretty good with their overlays, because I felt the same way about Hyperspace Mountain when I did that on my recent trip. I was like, this is like a new ride almost.
Yeah,
this just feels like this was always a Star Wars ride. Now,
yeah,
does it feel like, oh, we put a picture of an X-Wing here, you know?
On Space Mountain.
Right. No, this is like, you know, wow. But in general, though, they're more willing to do those things in Disneyland because a lot more of their visitors are locals who are more likely to return to the park.
You don't want to have, like, your once-in-a-lifetime trip to Disney World and you don't get to see the Haunted Mansion.
Right. That's their thing. It's like, oh, what is this? I don't like it. And they kind of, like, learned the hard way, like, especially when they had the castle looked like a birthday cake.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, not go over well. The best was apparently the people who were there for their weddings.
Yeah, they had this giant pink castle in the background.
Yeah, like, what? They literally had to get like a picture of like the regular castle and like prop it up behind them sometimes.
The times before Photoshop.
So I think Halloween would be fun. I mean, it's one of those things where I think I'd rather be there not on the actual day and just see the decorations.
Well, yeah, and that's a good thing about Halloween. It's one of those kind of, it's always happening holidays.
Right.
Like 4th of July is just the day.
I mean, I like Halloween, but in general, I'm not one of those, like, there's, like, some people who, like Halloween more than Christmas.
Yeah, like celebrate it, like, as adults with parties and
craziness.
Yeah, I mean,
craziness. You know, Halloween's fine. Like, you know, I'll maybe go somewhere, but, yeah, not, like, that much Halloween. Yeah. So, now, Thanksgiving. We've been in the park for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving's a weird holiday for me in Disney. Here's why.
Well, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving decorations.
It's kind of like they just kind of toned down the Halloween decorations to not be as, quote-unquote, scary.
Honestly, the Christmas ones are pretty much all up at this point.
No.
They're pretty much up.
Is it? No, are they up before or after
they're
Thanksgiving?
They're up before. They're up right after Halloween, AJ. They're striking that stuff down and getting the Christmas stuff
okay,
up.
Okay, yeah, maybe. You're right. Because Jeff Parsons was actually, last year, he was there during the transition. Literally, because he does a photo stream every time he goes. The one day they're in Magic Kingdom and it's like pumpkins and scarecrows. Mm. And the next day it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, overnight. It's insane. Like, that'd be fascinating, I think, to watch a time lapse of that.
When we were little, maybe the transition was a little later. But in these days, it's pretty much right after.
Because,
again, a lot of people want to go there and see the Christmas stuff.
So, here's why I'm not the biggest fan of going at Thanksgiving. First of all, it's very crowded. Because, like, everyone has those 3 days off from, like, school. So, it's a popular time to go. And the thing that kind of sucks is, every time, I think we've gone twice on actual Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You get limited menus at all the restaurants of just, like,
turkey.
Some turkey.
Yeah, and it's like,
you go to like, California Grill.
And it's like, your meal is just, like, this, like, their version of its turkey dinner. And it's, like, fine, but it's, like,
I was here for a $50 steak, please.
Yeah, and it's like a short, it's like a kind of a smaller serving, because it's like they have so many people to go through that day.
Yeah, that's part of why they do it, because they're just trying to crank people in and out, which I understand.
And then, like, the second time we just went to, like, the English restaurant.
That was funny.
But yeah, which was fine, but
again, just to stick it to
it. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you'd rather just be at home eating, like, your normal Thanksgiving dinner.
Now, ironically, the week after Thanksgiving is a phenomenal time to go. I think that's actually one of the true remaining slow periods, because it's like, well, we just missed school for Thanksgiving. You got Christmas break coming up, so we're not going to take the kids out of school.
Right.
And you have all, like, Christmas is in full swing at that point. So, like, you get all the Christmas stuff, and it's just not as crowded. It's not super cold yet because it's still early December. I think that might be my favorite time to go. Your birthday, basically.
Yeah, right. No, well, I like going when all the Christmas stuff is up. Because that's when there's the most decorations. And, I mean, Christmas is my favorite holiday anyways.
Right.
I think it's a lot of people's. So that,
and like I said, what's nice about Christmas and Disney World, you don't have to be there on Christmas. to get
Christmas. And in fact,
only thing you miss is the Christmas Day parade.
And I don't think you should be there on Christmas. I mean, again, because, I mean, Christmas at home is kind of a special thing, right? You want that. You don't want to go to, you know, you don't want to be in the parks for that actual day. I think that's kind of a...
Plus, you talk about a crowded day at the parks. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get to do anything.
Right, and like all that Christmas stuff you can do. And what's nice is there's all the stuff they do, and we'll get to that. But even just walking around all the parks and all the hotels, I mean, everything is decorated. Mm-hmm. You could have a day out just going to every single resort, which it would be a fun day, and just seeing all their Christmas trees and all their decorations. I mean, and I think that the best ones to go to... Grand Floridian always has a really nice tree.
It's a poinsettia tree.
It's a very nice tree.
And they have the giant,
and gingerbread house. And then the Wilderness Lodge has a very nice tree. They have like this whole rustic Christmas thing going on that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And that always looks like... But I mean, all of them are really cool looking. And they all kind of, you know, follow their theme with it.
Yeah. Also, Christmas is super fun at World Showcase because they really do kind of tie the whole how Christmas is celebrated and all the cultures to it, which is, you know, maybe you don't appreciate as much as a kid. But now I, like, now, really dig that.
You remember back in the day, we had our VHS tapes from Disney World, and they were
the magic of Christmas at Walt Disney World.
There was ones for each park at the time before Animal Kingdom was the three, and then there was the fourth that was just about Christmas. Yeah. And I've seen this, like, and it's like they go into, like, the warehouse where all the Christmas stuff is stored, and, like, they're all taking it out. And this was, this was back even then. They had the live nativity scene at Downtown Disney then.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny to think how even just now, it's like they wouldn't do something that with that religious of an, you know, tone.
Yeah, about as close as they get as the candlelight processional.
Yeah, and even that's not as religious as it once was. But the candlelight processional is definitely something I think...
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's...
Candlelight processional is great. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is super fun.
The candlelight processional, in case you don't know, it's just like a choir doing the Christmas songs, and they usually tell the story.
Yeah, the story of Christmas,
right? But it's just like, you know, like a traditional kind of Christmas choir, but it's just very nice. A lot of times they'll have a celebrity narrator.
Neil Patrick Harris seems to enjoy doing it.
Yeah, well, I think that the bigger celebrities go to the Disneyland version because that's the original.
I see.
And yeah, so and it started there, and then they kind of brought it here. And in fact, it used to be in Magic Kingdom, and then it kind of went over to, and it's in that theater across from the American Adventure. So
yeah,
it's all patriotic, but it's just a very nice kind of chill thing to do.
Yeah, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. It snows on Main Street. It's kind of just soap suds, but hey,
maybe,
whatever.
It might be different now. It might be more fancy now. I mean, God, we did the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party when we were like 10, was when I did that. Yeah,
there was like free hot chocolate and cookies all over the place.
Oh, yeah, and like the little photo station.
I like any event that gets you into the park at the end of the day in like a less crowded capacity.
Sure.
But you can do all the rides.
Remember they used to have Mickey's Very Merry Christmas what was that show?
The Jolly Holiday Show.
A contemporary. I don't think they do that anymore.
No. I was going to bring that up. It was a stage show dinner theater thing. When we did it, it was super cool because the way it was set up, it was in like basically it was one of the conference rooms at the Contemporary.
Right.
There were two stages, a smaller stage and a bigger stage. We get our table. We're right by the small stage, but we had like zero view of the main stage. And it was like, this kind of stinks. Like, we could see half the show pretty well. But like, act one was basically on that small stage. And then it's like intermission. And like, a manager comes up to us because it was like two families at the table. They're like, guys, you're not going to have a very good show the second act, so we'd like to bring you over to a different table. And it was like front row of the main stage. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, that was a fun show. But there's all kinds of just like little things like that going on around Christmas. Well, that wasn't a little thing. That was a big thing that they used to do. But again, all the parks look just super nice, and they're all decorated. And it's just kind of... I think that's probably it's my favorite time to go. But again, don't go on actual Christmas.
I don't think there's any need. The parade's on TV.
Right. What about the New Year? Do you think that's worth doing there?
Again, busy.
Busy. I mean, nice fireworks, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
I don't think I've ever actually been there for the actual like countdown.
No, we've never been there. Remember, every night was New Year's Eve at Pleasure Island.
Right, back in the day. There's something I never got to experience was Pleasure Island.
Just that one time. Worth it.
So, all right then.
Easter?
Oh, yeah.
Easter's a weird one to me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a parade.
There's a parade and a lot of people. All the people.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like Easter's a... I mean, Easter's like not a strange holiday, but it's not like, you know, a festive holiday,
well,
really.
And again, for most kids in school, you're getting the Friday before and the week after off.
Most people are going there because they have a lot of days off from school, not because, like, they're there to celebrate Easter. Yeah. You know, and I mean, we go there, we used to go to church in the Contemporary.
Yeah, they had mass, and again, I think the same room where that show was.
Yeah, it was just one of the conference rooms. They kind of just...
I was an altar boy one year.
That's right. And I mean, you know, it's it's an alright time to go. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's very crowded. There's not like a lot of Easter decorations. There's the one parade, and like there's a float with the Easter bunny on it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And again, on the day, you get limited menus at all the restaurants.
Right, because it's just so crowded.
I mean, yeah, any of these holidays are crazy crowded, which is why... That's why I like Easter and Halloween, or not Easter, Christmas, Halloween, because you can experience them without having to go on right. the day.
Yeah, because like 4th of July, you got to be there on that day pretty much.
Yeah, there's nothing else going on before.
Right. Like New Year's and Easter, but yeah. So, okay, cool.
Yes.
All right, then. So, what? Anything else you wanted to talk about? What have you been playing? How's that competitive mode going in Overwatch?
Oh, great. I played with Chris 4 of my 10 placement matches, and we lost them all.
You won all the ones you played with me.
Isn't that cool? The one that we were like a shoo-in to win, we like dominated the first round, and the guy just disconnected.
Yeah.
And we lost the tiebreaker. Yeah. So I need to get those finished. On the Blizzard front, so I tried that Hearth Arena add-on for Hearthstone like helps you draft your deck. Yeah. Very well made. It's like all the characters from the League of Explorers expansions are the ones like giving you advice, right. And like it like totally fits that. But like it's just cool because it's not just like here's some card rankings. Like it'll say like normally I'd go with this one based on value, but we really need some two drops and this will synergize well with the deck we're making. Like oh, okay, right. Cool.
Like exactly.
So it's nice because you're actually kind of, it's explaining why you're picking these cards,
right?
As you're picking them.
Did you get to play with the deck you made?
I have not lost yet. I played one game.
All right.
Well, but I won that game.
There you go.
Yeah, Warrior deck, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, drafting is only part of the equation anyways. You still need to play the deck well. It's right. Not like you're cheating or something. But
well, again, it's information you can get by alt-tabbing or having
sure.
your phone with you. Like, there's no timer on drafting, so that's, like, fine.
Right, no.
Blizzard.
I mean, I use Hearth Arena's tier list when I'm drafting. I don't have this app. I just look at, like, their actual thing.
Right. So, yeah, sure. I like that a lot. It's neat.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing a lot more Arena lately. Probably just because I watch that Kiparian guy a lot.
Yeah.
He does a lot of Arena.
So, tell me about Mighty Number 9.
Oh.
We have not talked about that
yet. We have not.
Your review is less than kind.
Well, it's just kind of a brand...
Now,
whatever.
Did I not call it 3 years ago when this was being Kickstarted, when they showed that, like, concept of in-game graphics? And it was, like, that awesome-looking 2D, like, Ori and the Blind Forest-looking screenshot. And I was like, nope, not going to happen.
That's kind of the sad thing. Is like, there's no reason why the game can't look like that these days. And instead, it basically looks like that...
It looks like a PSP game.
It looks like that Mega Man Transmission game they made for the GameCube. Remember that?
Don't even remember that.
They made that 2D. Remember the Mega Man Network games? They made the 2D one for GameCube.
That looked better than this in my mind.
I don't know, but
in my mind, it looks like the Mega Man powered up for PSP with less interesting design.
It's kind of like that. So yeah, the graphics aren't very good, but I mean, more so than that, it's just kind of tedious. I mean, the levels are. And that's the thing about like the old Mega Man games. Maybe the X games got away from it a little bit. I'm not as like super familiar with those as I am with the classics, which I played like all of them a bunch of times. But like you know, the levels are hard, but they're all pretty short, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you die, and they have like one checkpoint. If you die, if you like game over, you start from the beginning. It's not that long usually to catch up to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Levels were so long in this.
You know, I heard it's longer.
But
how's that load time?
I mean, I don't know. A lot of times never bothered me. I know some people complain about that. It didn't bother me too much. That I was just, like, shocked, though, how bad the game looks. There's still, like, things like slowdown stuff.
Digital Foundry played the Wii U version?
Oh, yeah. I think Wii U version has load time
like,
problems.
Well, and it also has, like, a 15 to 20 frame per second frame rate.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I think that's one of their problems was, like, they're all, like, all of their, what's that? Stretch goals were like new platforms. And I think that's
stretch
one...
goals ruined a game.
Yeah, I know.
Just never called that.
Right, and it's just like, well, we have to make there's so many platforms.
Well, it's so goofy too because like,
I think it's like an Xbox 360.
Yeah, like 3 years ago, you're like, oh, I better have a 360 and PS3 version. Now, like, who gives a fuck?
Right. Like, oh, that's time well spent. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But even just like the boss fights are so long. Like, they have these. Like, a lot, like, there's this one boss fight, and he's, like, the flying guy. You have three platforms you're sitting on, and then, like, you can fall to your death. And he's just, like, not in range most of the time. So it's, like, you have to wait for him to, like, come down, then you, like, shoot him enough, right? And then, like, when you shoot him, like, a quarter, each quarter health, you have to dash into him. And if you don't, he regains his health. sometimes he'll begin flashing, like you're supposed to dash into him, and then he'll fly off the screen to, like, do something. By the time he comes back, he's still, like, out of range, and he just regains his health. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, he'll do this one attack that causes one of those weird pepperoni pizza explosions that look awful, and, like, you can't see where you are, and it's like, oh, and then you just fall to your death. I'm like, oh, cool.
I also like, too, like, if you watch Ego Raptor's Sequelitis about Mega Man X, he's talking about how, like, if this game was made today, you'd have, like, these constant pop-ups.
It's what happened.
Mega Man! Yeah, and I don't know, watching the videos, I'm like, oh my god, they actually did it.
It's literally, like, their version of Roll doing that shit.
Yeah, that's just...
Call or whatever, yeah.
The worst. Like, again, and you've pointed this out before, everyone's like, oh, Kaji Inafune, the father of Mega Man. It's like, not really.
No, he gets a little too much. I mean, he's a nice... I actually got to meet him at E3 and talk to him. You know, he's a nice guy, and I'm sure he knows what he's doing to a degree and things, but he wasn't, like, he didn't, like, make Mega Man in his, like, office, you know?
Yeah. It's just, and again, to kind of go back to Ori, like, that was made by, what, like, 10 guys who were literally spread across the world, and this is, like, a studio, like, in an office, this is what they made in 3 years?
The strange thing was, like, there's even been, like, Mega, like, that, remember that Azure Striker Gunvolt, whatever? That, like, 2D Mega Man Spire game?
Oh, yeah.
That was much better than this. That was pretty good.
I mean, we are in the post-Shovel Knight world. Like, you have to be at least as good as Shovel Knight.
Right. No, that's... Yeah. And, you know, some people are tired of pixel graphics. I'm okay with it. But, I mean, even still, just the design of Shovel Knight is so good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Shovel Knight, like, one of the best games I've played in recent memory. Same thing with Ori. And then you have, like, this. It's like, what the fuck, man?
It's just... One of the few times I think I've ever agreed with Ben Kachera, who is on the DLC podcast, and he wrote an article about this on Polygon afterwards. He said it's funny because Kickstarter has turned us into those shitty publishers we don't like.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, oh, where's the original IP? Oh, another sequel. But then, like, there was a Kickstarter for some weird, cool game that probably never got funded, and then it's like, the guy who made Mega Man's gonna make a new Mega Man game. I'll back that. And then it's a piece of shit.
I mean, I still don't blame, like, I backed it, and you know what? The pitch, I don't blame myself for backing it. And I still think that, like, so, like, that Bloodstained game, that, like, new basically Symphony of the Night by Iga,
mm-hmm.
I played that. That looks good. Although, I played Mighty No. 9 at E3 and thought it looked good then, too, so who knows. I mean, the basic, like, mechanics of, like, the shooting and, like, the dashing through people thing is fine. It's just, like, the design is so not
you
there.
Backed it? Did you get your backer copy yet?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
What system?
PlayStation 4, same thing I got a review copy for.
Give it my way. I'll play this thing and see what it's like. But it's just, like, What was I about to say? Like in the case of both of those games, like, they were funded right away. So in my mind, I'm like, all right, I'll see what it's like when it comes out. Like, I know I'm going right. to be like, oh, I need to give them
money.
So they make that Wii
I mean,
U
I think
version.
It definitely shows that there's, you know, like, a desire for these kind of games, especially with Castlevania, because it's Konami.
Well, right.
And then Capcom just hasn't made a new Mega Man game in a while. But, like, I'm kind of getting to this point now where it's like, you know what? The old Mega Man games are going to always be there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine. You They're not going to make. I'm not going to like beg Capcom to make new Mega Man games anymore. Just, you know, whatever. Because honestly, if they make one, I don't think it's going to be too different from what, like, a Mighty No. 9 is.
So, this game was its latest delay that happened before this release was because of the multiplayer features not being done yet. So tell me how amazing the multiplayer
is. Who tried those? I don't even know where they are.
I don't. That's fantastic.
Who cares? Yeah, right. It's hard for me to believe that.
Wait,
game
you reviewed it. You didn't even use the multiplayer?
What is it? I don't even understand.
I don't know. I'm asking you. You reviewed it.
I don't know. I look at the menu for everything. At no point did it be like, multiplayer mode. I didn't even see it. Look, what a stupid game.
I think this is just...
It's a cheap looking... Like there's like cutscenes and the characters are like doing those animations like this. Lips aren't moving to their bad dialogue. And it's like, the dialogue is like a bad 80s cartoon, even though this is, like, marketed towards adults now. Like, right? Like, that's the target audience, is adults who liked Mega Man.
Oh, you saw that terrible trailer they released.
God. That was like them. Yeah, I don't know. Bad decisions were made all around with Mighty No. 9. There will not be a Mighty No. 10, I can tell you that.
But Mike, he's turning it to a whole multimedia
franchise
with
anime.
A live-action film and an anime and that other game.
No, he's not. Guess what? That's not happening.
Yeah, right.
That's the weird thing about Kickstarter, too. It's like, the exciting part of this happened, like, when we were funding the game. Mm-hmm. That's when it was fun.
Yeah, because it could have been
then waiting for it to get made, and, like, then playing it was awful.
Whoops.
I'm also playing that Adventures of Mana, which is the remake of the original game in that the Mana series, which was released here as Final Fantasy Adventure.
How's that?
For Game Boy. It's fine. I mean...
Does it feel like a Game Boy game from the 90s?
Yeah. It's simple, but It's very simple, and the graphics are just kind of, like, a little better. This was actually originally a mobile game. Mm-hmm. And, like, in this kind of port to Vita, which is nice. Like, it still kind of has, like, some... You can still use the touchscreen to move and do things, but you can just also use the buttons and control, so it's fine.
That's good.
But, I mean, and I watched a playthrough of the original, and it's pretty one-to-one. Like, I think they remade this game for Game Boy Advance before, and they, like, kind of, like, almost went... Not too far, but, like, they, like, added new story elements, new gameplay mechanics and stuff like that. Mm. This is just, like, this is, like, a remake of the
Straight
original.
Straight up.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of nice, because it's, like, it's kind of charming in a way, because you can tell that it's kind of an older game, but, like, you know, part of me, like, likes those things sometimes. Right. You know, like, weird things, like, you know, you're just, like, in a dungeon, it's, like, you equip the pickaxe, and maybe there's a hidden wall here somewhere. Okay. You know, just weird stuff. It's very minimalistic, but it's kind of fun. And I never really played those games very much anyways.
Yeah, we never got
We never had Secret of Mana, and I kind of... That's not that I have my Super Nintendo back out. That's, like, one of my things I want to get. So I could play through this, and I could play through Secret of Mana. Then I could buy that... Then I can get, like, the ROM of a translated version of the third one that they didn't release here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all it for the good ones in those series anyways. But remember, I always remember going to, like, Toys R Us and looking at Game Boy games, and they would always have Final Fantasy Legend, Final Fantasy Legend 2, and Final Fantasy Adventure.
You're like, what are
they? And it's so funny, because, like, those are...
None of those are Final Fantasy games.
Right, well, I think at least the first Final Fantasy Adventure really was a spinoff of Final Fantasy, and then after that they kind of made it its own thing, like the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Legends were just the first Saga games.
Right.
But, and it's funny how both of those were series that, like, never really... They, like, broke out for a while on the Super Nintendo, and then, like, never really quite survived much longer after that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Legend of Mana game for PlayStation had, like, the most beautiful 2D art ever at the time.
Yeah, I remember that trailer was right. Excellent. But remember, that was, like, that summer. They released, like, three games right. That summer.
Yeah, it was, like, that... Was it that... One of the Final Fantasies in Chrono? Or was it Saga Frontier, even?
I don't even think it was a Final Fantasy. It was Legend of Mana. I think it might be about Saga Frontier 2. Saga Frontier 1 was great.
I like Saga Frontier 1.
Yeah, and I have to look this up now. I'm curious.
Yeah, but yeah, Square Enix was releasing so many games.
Yeah, they were
good stride. PlayStation 1 was their time.
That was like right when the merger happened, so probably like a lot of projects kind of came together at the same time.
I think the merger happened until PlayStation 2 era, Ajka.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was Squaresoft all throughout PlayStation 1.
Wow, yeah. Okay, wow.
But weird. But yeah, and then but despite how good the game looks, the actual game isn't like that great apparently. So like all the best Mana games are.
Oh no, I played Legend of Mana. It was terrible.
Yeah,
it was very disappointing.
Whoops. But yeah, that and the Saga games haven't really done much of anything.
So last night I started. I played about the first hour of Inside.
Oh yeah, I meant to start it, but I didn't get to. I mean, people are saying nothing but great things about
it. It's Mike. It's phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's real good. It's one of those games where. The environmental storytelling is just so sophisticated. Because, like, you have no idea what the fuck is going on. But nothing, like, doesn't not make sense.
Nothing doesn't not make... I don't know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like it's a bunch of weird shit, but it kind of... You're like, oh, okay, that's what's going on here. See, but why is that going on? Like, nothing feels out of place.
Yeah. I don't want you to say too much, because I really don't know much about this game, but I kind of want to go into it sort of...
The only thing, like, generic I can say about the gameplay, at least... It mechanically feels very similar to Limbo, even like even though it's not that flat silhouette art style, like the movement feels very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But for a 2D game, it plays with 3D depth.
That's cool.
In such an interesting way. Like in some of the puzzle solving and just the way the environments are animated, like it's really something.
So you're saying it really looks a little bit better than Mighty No. 9.
Just a little. Even, like, its color palette, like, I mean, there's so much you could talk about this game with, but, again, it's kind of cool to go into it pretty fresh. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone should get it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. All right. Anything else we're going to talk about?
Yeah, one last VR game that I got on the Steam sale called Windlands. Have you heard of this?
No.
This is the Spider-Man game.
Oh.
Man, is it cool. You can only play it for about half an hour.
Did you get sick?
I started to get a little dizzy. And I was playing it standing up. I felt like that helped. Because it does kind of use the twin stick first person thing. But you're doing so much jumping that it, like, disconnects you now, from that in a weird way.
Wouldn't this work better with, like, the move controller kind of stuff? With web swinging?
I don't know. Because, like, the way you control it now is you have a reticule and you look to aim. And then right triggers your right hand, left triggers your left hand. You could swing both of them together, like, pull yourself towards something. So it works just by looking and aiming, because that's kind of what you do anyway, you know?
Right.
I could see it being really cool, though, with, like, two independent reticules, because then you can do, like, crazy things, like grabbing onto two things and swinging through them and everything. But once you get, like, kind of the hang of it, it's just so fun. Like, it had me just out loud, constantly like, oh, wow, whoa, like, just stuff like that. I don't think it should be your first VR game you play. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to kind of get used to VR first.
Right.
But if you're there, this game is super fun.
All right. All right, well, that'll do it for us. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and at Twitter. You can go to the iTunes Music Store, leave us a review, send it to the Google Play Store.
Yeah, and, you know, be sure to check me out. I'm on the Too Old for This Podcast. I don't mention that as much as I probably should on the show, but that comes out every Wednesday or Thursday. Right. And we talked about baseball and domestic abuse this week. Fun show!
Oh, wow. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.